from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I want to talk about the results of last night's non-tender deadline. It was quite an eventful deadline across baseball, with upwards of 50 players being non-tendered across the league. That number up sharply from the previous year, which was up from the previous year before that as well. So it is a trend we're seeing in the game where more players are getting non-tendered, and the Giants non-tendered four of their own players. We were forgetting. I had no idea that Rico Garcia, who the Giants claimed from the Rockies in November, was arbitration eligible, so we never even mentioned his name. Not entirely sure why they claimed him only to non-tender him at the deadline, but I'm sure they had their reasons. The story of the hour, though, is the fact that the Giants did decide to non-tender Kevin Pillar. And upon hearing their explanation, I'm kind of surprised that I didn't see it coming and that I expected him to be tendered a contract. In recent mailbags, I received questions that asked about the possibility of the likes of Mike Yastrzemski and Jalen Davis potentially playing center field. And I kind of shrugged it off and said I didn't expect them to do that, even though, you know, Yastrzemski rated as a good defender in the corners, which made me think and say that he would be capable in center, which is no worse than what Kevin Pillar was last year, frankly, even though a lot of the, you know, fans and less new school reporters considered Pillar's defense to be better than that. I would say I think the reason that that stood out to a lot of people, that his defense was so good, was because the Giants have had some really bad center field defense the last several years before Kevin Pillar. The likes of Denard Span and Angel Pagan consistently rated as like the worst defensive center fielders in the game. And so someone who's just league average is a huge step forward. But, you know, the Giants have not seen elite center field defense, you know, the likes of peak Kevin Kiermaier or peak Kevin Pillar in who knows how long. But I think Steven Duggar provided a glimpse of what even better center field defense can be. And Farhan Zaidi did talk about Steven Duggar and Jalen Davis and Mike Yastrzemski as guys they want to be able to mix in at center field next year. And there's other explanations as well. So before we get into the explanations, I just kind of want to summarize what happened yesterday. So the Giants had seven decisions to make, adding Rico Garcia along with Tyler Anderson, Kevin Pillar, Joey Rickard, Wandy Peralta, Alex Dickerson, and Donovan Solano. So they ended up non-tendering four of those seven in Rico Garcia, Tyler Anderson, the guy I've been comparing favorably to Madison Bumgarner all offseason since the Giants claimed him, Kevin Pillar, of course, and Joey Rickard. So that was our one correct non-tender guess in Joey Rickard. And they not only tendered contracts to Wandy Peralta, Alex Dickerson, and Donovan Solano, but they agreed to one-year deals. This is exactly what we expected might happen. And it's what they did last year, which is what led me to think it would be what would happen. So they didn't have to agree to dollar amounts for the 2020 season with these players, but they did with all three. Wandy Peralta signed for $805,000. Alex Dickerson, a bargain at $925,000. That comes in over 20% lower than the MLB trade rumors projected salary for him. And Donovan Solano signed for $1.375 million, which was slightly over the MLB trade rumors projection. So Wandy Peralta is a guy I thought was a possibility to be tendered a contract simply because they did target him, and it's not like $800,000 is a significant salary for a player they clearly were interested in, but they also targeted some of these other guys who they non-tendered. So I could go on and on about every single one of these players. I think the big surprises for me were Tyler Anderson, and then of course the big story is Kevin Pillar. So the Tyler Anderson one, I have to think, has something to do with his medicals and his knee. So he had surgery in June of 2019 to repair what is known as a chondral defect in his knee. So it wasn't just like a standard knee injury. He has a defect, and apparently the surgery is complex and intricate, and it requires a lengthy recovery time. So I have to think, because he was only projected to earn a very modest salary of about $2.5 million, plus coming with an additional year of team control in 2021, and they non-tendered him. So I have to think they got to look at his medical records, and they got to, you know, check him out with their own doctors. And it sounds to me like the results weren't good. They weren't satisfied that he was going to be ready anytime soon, or that it had a significant risk of making him not able to pitch effectively moving forward. So obviously I don't hope that for Tyler Anderson, but the fact that they non-tendered him at that price tells me that that's a distinct possibility. So finally, moving on to fully analyze the Kevin Pillar angle, which I think is the most important angle, because fans are seemingly upset by this, as fans are seemingly upset by pretty much anything and everything that the Giants do these days. So let's just jump into the explanation that Farhan Zaidi gave to the media in a phone call after the Giants made these decisions. And this is courtesy of Alex Pavlovich on NBC Sports Bay Area. Farhan Zaidi said, quote, "It was a difficult decision. It was a baseball decision, not a financial decision. We want to make sure we can provide the opportunity to some of our younger outfielders who have emerged over the last year. Jalen Davis got a little bit of big league time, and we want to make sure he gets an opportunity. Steven Duggar is coming off an injury, and we're expecting him to be 100% coming into camp. I would still expect us to add to that picture by looking at free agents and trades. The versatility of a couple of those guys, and he's including Mike Yastrzemski in that conversation, to play center field may give us an opportunity to add an impact bat in one of the corner spots, which is something we've talked about all offseason. We're looking for offensive production and a way to score more runs. We're going to have financial flexibility to explore those avenues in trades and free agency, but an equally important part of this is making sure we're creating an opportunity for some young players." So this is why I'm feeling like I can't believe I didn't see this coming. Because if you think about it, if you have Mike Yastrzemski and Alex Dickerson in your outfield, and if you add Steven Duggar and Jalen Davis into that mix, that's already four outfielders. And that doesn't really give you any room to add from the outside. And it was clear to us, and we've been talking on this show, about their potential likelihood to add an impact corner outfielder. So then you've got your impact corner outfielder, and then hypothetically, you've got Pillar in center. And then in the other corner, you've got what? Yastrzemski, Dickerson, Davis, and Duggar. Plus, you know, not even to mention Mauricio Dubon, who they have talked about as a guy who could be a fit in the outfield, at least at times. So in hindsight, it actually makes all the sense in the world that you don't want to devote yourself to 1 year of Kevin Pillar in a season that you do want to continue to develop some of your players. So coming up in the second half of the show, I want to continue to have this discussion about Kevin Pillar and the Giants' decision here to non-tender him. So yeah, specifically looking at some of the guys that the Giants have on their roster already, for example, Mauricio Dubon and Jalen Davis. They have talked about the possibility of Mauricio Dubon playing center field, at least at times. Shortly after they acquired him, Farhan Zaidi talked about how they view him as potentially a super utility guy a la Kike Hernandez on the Dodgers, who can play short, center, second, left, all over the diamond. And Dubon certainly has those same physical abilities. And so I think you can make it work if you think Mike Yastrzemski and Jalen Davis and Steven Duggar and Mauricio Dubon are all capable of playing center. Then you've got your Alex Dickersons and Mike Yastrzemskis, plus all those other outfielders who can easily move over to a corner. And then it gives you the option to continue to add to the major league roster via free agency or trade for another outfielder. So they didn't want to lock themselves in to Kevin Pillar, which would prohibit roster flexibility, not financial flexibility, but roster flexibility. Zaidi specifically said, "We have full support from ownership to invest in the major league team, and it's not Farhan Zaidi's money." And so if they thought that investing in Kevin Pillar gave them the best chance to win and to build a good roster here, then they would do it because they have the support from ownership. So that's where I don't quite understand the fan reaction, because it's not the front office's money and ownership is willing to spend the money. It's simply clearly a baseball decision. And it should make fans excited, because as much as fans liked Kevin Pillar, the Giants front office has determined that him being on the roster isn't enough. And it has the added benefit of freeing up even more payroll space, where now the Giants come in at a projected $128 million with a 40-man roster that stands at 36. So last year, their payroll was $186 million. So that's, you know, nearly $60 million less than last year already. And the projection for 2021 at this point is $94 million, and then it goes down to $24 million in 2022. So they have all kinds of flexibility. I'm not going to promise and guarantee that they're going to make that big acquisition this offseason necessarily, because, you know, you cannot always make a player come play for you. You can't always make a team agree to a trade with you. But what they're saying is they didn't want to have to close that door. They wanted to keep their options open, and that they're looking and willing to spend money if it's the right fit. So it might not be this offseason. I would predict that they will add significantly this offseason, but I would also just encourage fans to be patient and have trust that this front office knows what they're doing. This move, and now several moves, Farhan Zaidi, you know, they're definitely demonstrating that they are not going to cater to fan sentiment. And it reminds me of when Farhan Zaidi was the GM with the Dodgers, with Andrew Friedman as the president of baseball operations. They made several very unpopular moves. They traded Matt Kemp. I think it was their first year with Friedman and Zaidi running the show. They traded Matt Kemp, who was like a recent MVP award winner, total fan favorite. It's like trading Posey or Bumgarner immediately upon taking over the Giants. Imagine what the reaction would have been to that. And they ended up getting a nice little piece in return in the form of Yasmani Grandal, who ended up being one of the best catchers in baseball for a long time for them. And Kemp, you know, his defense was vastly overrated. People weren't valuing enough the fact that his defense was so bad. And so they basically fleeced the Padres by getting Yasmani Grandal in a deal for Kemp. Kemp has gone on to fizzle into nothing in the baseball landscape, and Grandal just signed for like $75 million. They also traded really popular clubhouse guy and fan favorite AJ Ellis, who was Clayton Kershaw's personal catcher. They traded him at the deadline for another catcher in Carlos Ruiz. So that was very unpopular. The players were outspoken about it. People were writing about how the front office was damaging the chemistry of the team and that they're too analytically inclined. It was a horrible thing for the Dodgers, and that the front office didn't recognize the impact that it would have, and they're too cold and calculated. But, you know, they moved on, and the Dodgers just continue to churn out season after season of winning the division, winning 90 plus games. And that's kind of the goal. The goal is to build a sustainable winner. The goal is not to cater to fan sentiment. We saw what catering to fan sentiment results in with the old Giants front office. You know, a lot of the moves they made were like designed to bring excitement and enthusiasm to the fans. Like the trade for Evan Longoria, for example, was something that was universally celebrated for the most part. You know, the signing of Denard Span, the signing of Mark Melancon. I could go on and on, but ultimately those moves put them in the position that they've been in the last 3 years, where they haven't been able to field a consistent winner or just win at all, period. And that cost Bobby Evans his job. So it is not a smart move to simply cater to fan sentiment. I believe there's like a famous quote from, I think it might have been Tommy Lasorda, who says, if you make decisions because of the people in the stands, you're going to end up being in the stands yourself. And I totally believe that. They should 100% do what they think is best to build a winner in San Francisco, not just listen to what the fans are thinking and saying. Their reputations are on the line. It's crazy to me when people think these guys are like unprepared and don't know what they're doing. 100% support them to continue to make these tough decisions, and there's a reason they're the ones in this position and not many of us online. So anyway, I just thought I needed to say that. Wish Kevin Pillar the best. Fans really took to him. I hope he ends up signing in a great situation for him in free agency. Also worth pointing out, the Giants could elect to bring him back. It's not like they're not allowed to sign him now. He just becomes a free agent. Everyone non-tendered yesterday just automatically becomes a free agent. There were many other really interesting non-tenders who I think could be targets for the Giants. Blake Treinen, the reliever on the A's, comes to mind. Steven Souza, right-handed hitting outfielder, formerly of the Diamondbacks and Rays and Nationals, and others as well. As I said, there were a lot of non-tenders across baseball. Anyway, I think tomorrow we're going to do our Q&A. We've had the prompt up there, and several of you have asked really good questions already, so I'm ready to get to those tomorrow. Also want to talk about this Gabe Kapler podcast with Hank Shulman, which was really interesting, but that'll probably have to wait until Thursday. And then towards the end of the week, we'll start talking about the upcoming winter meetings, which start on Sunday in San Diego. Remember, to get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Really hope you enjoyed today's show. Cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.